This message this evening is really about a one-year course, not only in medical training, but in seminary and in Bible study. And we're going to cram it into, what do we say, midnight, brother? What is that? I think that's what he said. We have until midnight. So get ready, hold on to your hats, and let's see what we can cram in about 40, 45 minutes. In my years in practice, there was one major feature that I saw on a regular basis when the people came in and were emotionally disturbed. Do you know what that was? The major feature, the major underlying problem, rejection. Rejection. Our society has continued to deteriorate because people feel rejected. Wives feel rejected. Husbands feel rejected. Children feel rejected. There's rejection between employees and employers. In the church, people feel rejected by the pastor. If he walks down the hall, he has something else on his mind and he fails to say good morning. Overwhelming feelings of rejection. Well up inside. That's a problem. It's a significant problem. And it's really what causes a lot of our problems in our homes, in our church, and in our workplace. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And look with me this evening at a verse. That if you are in Christ Jesus, and that's a very, very important preposition. In Christ Jesus. That means you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. And the picture that you want to have in your mind when you think of being in Christ Jesus is the picture given in the Old Testament of being sealed by God in the ark. If you are sealed by God, by the Holy Spirit, by the pitch that covered the ark, which is typologically the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Hebrew word there is kopher. It refers to redemption. It refers to salvation. It refers to protection. So when you think of being in Christ Jesus, I want that from now on, I want you to always immediately bring that picture to mind. But always remember there were few, 8 souls, that were on the ark. It's not very many. And the Lord told us very clearly that there would be few that would find the straight gate. Few. So even in this small congregation tonight, even in this Sunday evening, even though on Sunday evening most of the people who turn out are those who are faithful and those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, there's still someone here this evening that has not appropriated the words of God and have received Him as their personal Savior. Once you do, and you're sealed in that ark until the day of redemption, there should be a security in that which should remove all emotional trauma in your life. Now, it takes a while for that to happen after you get saved because emotions are like this and they gradually slow down. It does not happen immediately after you've been through some emotional trauma. But there's a verse in Ephesians 1, verse 6, that should give you some great encouragement. to the praise of the glory of His grace, the power to do God's will given by God, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He accepts you. There's no redemption without the shedding of blood. And that's the blood of our Savior. And the life is in the blood. And as a physician, I can tell you this, that Christ died on that cross by the shedding of His blood. And that pure blood is that pitch that seals that ark from the storms of life. And being sealed by that blood in the storms and from the storms of life, you are accepted in Him, no matter what your past may be. And to be honest with you, no matter what you may do in the future, if you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we would hope that sins would decrease in your life as you come to understand His words and understand Him. We would hope that your emotions, which were like this when you were not in Him, would gradually slow down. When you're in the presence of an old believer, one of the things you sense is a sense of confidence, a sense of security, a sense of peacefulness. Why is that? It's because he or she knows he is accepted in the Lord. Now, because of this rejection syndrome that we see, I need to speak with you about it this evening, because I think it's been accelerated in these last days by the corruption of the text. Now, that sounds strange, doesn't it? But what has happened because of the rejection of verbal plenary preservation and verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures, people have lost confidence in the words of God. And therefore, because of that loss of confidence, they've gotten willy-nilly again. Here go their emotions. And they're living carnally because they don't quite believe these words, because they hear guys like your pastors proclaim the truth of these words, and you have, though, then all these seminaries and Bible schools proclaiming, we don't have all the words of God. A lot of them have been lost. We had to reconstruct the text. So, particularly young people, are you listening? You're being impinged, you're being hurt by all this false information coming down to you. And that's, again, the enemy at work. That enemy wants to destroy your confidence in these words. Now, because of that, people don't feel accepted. Not only by others, but by even the Lord Himself. They feel they have to work their way to heaven, or they have to do this or do that to be accepted by Him. Not true. Not true at all. What you need to do is rest. Rest in Him. Receive His peace. Receive His blessings. No matter what trials you're going through, and I heard trials this morning, I hear trials this evening, I hear those unspoken requests, and in the examining room, I knew what those problems were. And I can just imagine what some of your problems are in your families, with your loved ones, with your friends that you're going through. Once, however, you understand completely, you're sealed in the ark, you're secure for eternity, and you count those trials simply as something to have joy in, because perhaps the Lord is trying to teach you something that will draw you closer to Him. That's what it's really all about. Now, having said all of those things, sin causes great confusion. And that's what we're seeing in the churches today. There's great confusion. And we're going to see in a minute, because of that sin, not quite believing the Scriptures and not quite living your life in a sanctified way, confusion sets in. So look what the Scripture says in Jeremiah 3:25. We lie down in our shame. Pay attention to this. Because what we're going to discover this evening is that sin has an effect on this part of the brain. This is the center called the frontal lobe of shame and empathy and compassion in your brain. And when sin is prevalent, and when sin in your personal life, or sin in a congregation, or a place of employment, or in society, is really way up here, like Sodom and Gomorrah, we begin to see some effects that are just incredible. I will show you on X-ray. I will show you on positive emission tomography those changes. They're real. God's Word is true. He loves you. He wants you to know the truth about life. And it's there for you to learn. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. And surely this morning, now you know who the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the voice of God is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? The voice walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. The confusion of sin, Job 10:15. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore see thou mine affliction. That's a plea by Job, you see. He realized that we are truly full of sin and full of confusion as a result. Psalm 44:15, my confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. Pay attention to shame now. We'll see why in a minute. Sin causes confusion, which leads to shame. If the frontal lobe is working at all, if there's no shame in sin, that means you've already had damage to your frontal lobe. James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, this is the problem in the church today. It's envying. Because if someone's not chosen for this or that position that they thought they should have, they get all upset. And envying sets in. And then because of that envying of someone else, strife starts in the church. But you can carry that over to your families even, and to your workplace. Same thing happens. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You see that? As in all churches of the saints. So you want peace in your church. I recently was at a meeting, and sitting by me was a man who had been a deacon, and he had been a Sunday school teacher, and he was there every Wednesday night to go visiting. And those things are all good if you truly feel a strong desire to do those things in your heart. But if you're trying to do that to win God's approval, give up. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The approval does not come from God because of things you do. God's approval is of His Son and the work He did, not anything you do. Make sure you have a desire in your heart to do the things in the church Don't envy someone else if they get promoted ahead of you. Praise the Lord. You don't have to work anyway. If you're saved, you're saved. And if you're sanctified or being sanctified, you don't have to do anything to do that. Just accept the Lord and believe and trust in Him. He'll sanctify you. He'll set you aside. Don't get envious. Don't cause strife. Now, let's go on. Rejection of absolutism. All these things are in the Scriptures. All the things that we need to know to live a sanctified life, a good life, an abundant life. In Christ came that we might have an abundant life. And the rejection, however, of His words, as we've just seen, causes confusion. Now, I'm sorry about this slide. I tried to correct it this afternoon, couldn't. I don't know why I couldn't, but slides do that sometimes. But it says, confusion causes effects on relationships. When there's sin in a family, when there's sin in a church, do you think relationships are bothered? Certainly are. And as a result of that, these effects on relationships, over a period of time, we find that it causes a frontal lobe lobotomy. Now, lobotomy is where the frontal lobe is severed. It doesn't function anymore. And we're going to see, and I'm going to talk to you about some of those things. And I've got until midnight, so hang in there. All right? Now, here's the effects on relationships. This is the thing that really bothers me in these days, is the effects on relationships, particularly between parents and their children. Now, we're going to see that the Lord told us in the last days, if the father's hearts weren't turned to the children and the children to the fathers, that He would bring a kerem, a curse on the earth. That curse is happening all over the world now, and I'm going to prove it to you in just a minute. Dr. Bruce Perry, M.D., Ph.D., and John Marsalis, M.D., state. Listen to this now. Most people think once you get your brains, that's it. Once you're an adult, nothing changes, you see. Not true. The brain is very plastic, meaning it's malleable. It changes. Meaning it is capable of changing in response to experiences, especially repetitive and pattern experiences. Furthermore, the brain is most plastic during early childhood. Pay attention to that now. Like his age, you see. Very malleable. It changes. Now, the brain is not fixed. Josh McDowell, a lot of you have heard of Josh. He travels from college to college. I don't agree with everything Josh does, but he's had a lot of experience on college campuses, and he writes a lot about these things. But he said, neglect a child and his or her brain connections atrophy. You see that? Almost as quickly as they are formed. Nurturing social relationships are critical. Nurturing social relationships are mothering, in other words. But these days, we don't mother anymore. We really don't. We need to mother even in the church. We need to love one another. We don't anymore. We come to church and go home and we forget one another. We don't really get together, have dinner together, socialize together, love one another, want to be with one another. We want to be it in front of our television set or doing other things we shouldn't be doing. The brain changes. National Institute of Health says this, if I'm in your way, you guys tell me. I'll try to move around. Recent imaging studies have discovered altered metabolism and blood flow in the brain as well as structural changes in people with post-traumatic stress syndrome. This fellow's coming back from war, for example. Or someone who's been through a particularly emotional trial in their lives. They thought their husband loved them and he ran off with another woman. Pastor in the church falls in love with the pianist and off he goes. Crazy stuff. My son, I'll be perfectly honest with you, was in a church in Florida. He was called on to be a deacon. And the Sunday he was going to be commissioned, the pastor stood up in the pulpit and said, confessed that he was having an affair with three women. Almost destroyed him. You see, post-traumatic stress syndromes of these kinds of things in a church affect you in many ways, emotionally and physically. But in life, I'm sure there are many other things that some of these unspoken requests, putting a lot of stress on you. A lot of stress. Now, let's go on. Josh McDowell, poor nurturing affects the frontal lobes as expected, and studies done are coordinated at Columbia University. Now, Columbia Medical School has done a lot of work in this area. Frontal lobe. Remember this now. You with me? Don't forget some of these things now as we move along here, because we're going to build on that information. Let's skip this slide. This has to do with the Rechabites and faithfulness. Jeremiah contrasted the Rechabites, who were Canaanites, faithfulness to the commandments of their ancestor Jonadab with the faithfulness of the people of Judah to the Lord. Faithfulness to the Lord's words and commandments. Sometimes you need to be faithful whether you understand it or not. See? It's very, very important. You may not understand why at some particular stage in your life, but later on it becomes clear. And I hope tonight it'll be even clearer why we need to be faithful to what the Lord said. He was going to preserve His words. We'd have every one of them, every jot and tittle, and that they were very important to us. For your protection. Did you hear that? For your protection. That's why He preserved them. They're His words. And if you listen to His words and are obedient to them, they will protect you in many, many ways. Not only give you salvation forever, but even now they will protect you. Okay. The seriousness of failing God's authority. Compare 1 Kings 13, 17 and 19. The prophet of Judah failed the test by the old prophet. Now, that's an interesting story, in my opinion, in 1 Kings. Because here's the old prophet, the prophet of Judah, and he does a lot of miracles, and God sent him to do that, and it's incredible what he did. And the Lord told him to go home a certain way. Just go home a certain way. But the old prophet in Israel, as opposed to Judah, told him, no, stop here and have dinner and eat with me. And the Lord told him not to do that. Then it seems innocent, doesn't it? Do you know what happened? The prophet of Judah was killed by a lion. A lion. A roaring lion that runs around wanting to devour you. See? A little simple thing. Just stop and eat and drink a little bit. Because the old prophet had lied to him. And there are liars out there in the world today. They lie to you. They deceive you. And you know where the truth is? It's here. It's here. That's where the truth is. Now, let's move on. Lawlessness and disobedience. 1 Timothy 1, 9 through 11. You heard this scripture, I'm sure, many times. It's rampant today, all over the world. I'm going to show you some pictures in just a minute, so hang in there. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and I might say mothers who are murderers and fathers who are murderers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine in that book, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, Paul was telling his son in the gospel those things. Lawlessness, anomia, is the Greek word there. Disobedience and insubordination, anomous. I'm going to get it in a minute. But the point is, they weren't obeying this book. That's the problem. See? Lawlessness. Now, let's move on. Romans 7:12. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. That's just and good, and it's holy. See? The law is a term frequently used in Scripture to encompass all of the Old Testament. Even the Lord Jesus Christ used it that way, and we today use it to say the law. This is the law. If you want to know where the law is, here it is. It's Old and New Testament. There are many commandments in the New Testament, right? In this dispensation that are different from other dispensations. And you need to understand that. Now, could this have something to do with what we are seeing around the world? The confusion wrought by the loss of belief in the words of God, VPP and VPI, you heard me say that now, the preservation of Scripture and the inspiration of Scripture. Does damage to the brain occur? First, a look at the world. You ready? Okay. Remember this? Paris. What was happening in Paris? Here it is, New York Times, published November the 4th, 2005, just recently. Angry youths. Catch that now. Angry youths. Karim, the Hebrew word, a devoted thing. What is the devoted thing in this world that's supposed to be devoted in your families to you? It's your children. But because the hearts of the fathers are not turned to the children, that devoted thing, that Karim, has turned against fathers, families, and the world, and particularly those words in that book. Clash with police and firefighters outside Paris late Wednesday in the worst of seven straight nights of violence set off by the accidental death of two teenagers. By late Thursday, more cars were burning in at least one of the city's northern suburbs. Gunshots were fired at police officers. Anybody remember something similar in this country recently where that happened? Katrina, New Orleans, same thing. Angry youths firing weapons when police and rescue workers were trying to rescue them. Does this suggest there's a problem in thinking even? Does this suggest there's confusion? Because people have turned away from the VPP and the VPI of these words. Because men who are after their own glory, and they want you to buy the things they write and the new Bibles they produce that are corrupted so they get very rich, like Rupert Murdoch, who's an atheist, who owns the rights to the NIV. He's an atheist. And you have people go out and buy them by the thousands, by the millions. Something wrong with the thinking. And why is it wrong? Why can't they think right? Because I'm going to show you the frontal lobes are deteriorating in the world, but also in this country. Let's move on. New York Times. The continuing unrest appears to be fueled less by perceived police brutality than by the frustration of young men who have no work and see little hope for the future. Mothers killing babies. Now, I'm sorry. Some of you are, I know this is going to be hard to hear and accept and understand. But you need to know the truth, what's really going on amongst the people of this nation. Andrew Yates said Satan told her to drown her five children. Deanna Laney said the Lord sent her signs to beat her three sons with stones. And the night before, Dina Schlosser, I guess, became the latest Texas mother to take her child's life, she told her husband she wanted to give her children to God. The suburban Dallas mother was charged with capital murder for severing her 10-month-old baby's arms. Confusion. Would God ever order someone to sever their baby's arms? Confusion. Sin. They can't even think anymore. Is this rare? No. In the United States, women commit only two crimes as frequently as men. The first is shoplifting. The second is murder of their own children. Let's go on. Confusion. Judges and juries mostly agree, with the result being that women who kill their children in this country are disproportionately hospitalized or treated. Women are. While men who do so are disproportionately jailed or even executed. Confusion. Doesn't make sense. No justice there, it doesn't seem. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3. Know this, know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Remember iniquity from this morning? Iniquity. They love their selves and reject those words. Covetous, as a result of being for themselves. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. In the last days, without natural affection. Mothers don't have a natural affection for their children. Men don't have a natural affection for the opposite sex, but for men, and vice versa with women. Natural affection is disrupted and getting worse all over the world. Listen to this. Children under the age of 5 in the United States are more likely to be killed by their parents than anyone else. Confusion. Sin. Something's happening. People can't even think anymore. Contrary to popular mythology, they are rarely killed by a sex-crazed stranger. Now, I'm not going to go on and read all that because of the children here. Now, confusion. Researchers building on the work of Philip Resnick have shown that women tend to do these things to their offspring for one or several reasons. This is the reasons they give. And before we even look at it, I want you to understand this is false. Because men don't understand how God operates. So they attribute all these things to false things. Okay, things that aren't true. Look what they say. Because the child is unwanted, out of mercy, as a result of some mental illness in the mother, and retaliation against the spouse as a result of abuse, kill a child? Wow. Confusion. People can't think. Reason is gone. They've given up on the scriptures, you see. School shooters. Who doesn't remember some of these pictures? November the 15th. Can you see around me there? Okay. Jamie Rouse, 17, dressed in black, went into Richland School in Giles County, Tennessee with a .22 caliber Remington Viper. He shot two teachers in the head, one of them fatally. Then, with a smile, he took aim at the football coach, but a female student walked in his path and was killed with a shot to the throat. Rouse had told five friends exactly how he had planned this killing, but no one had called for help. Let's go on. Who can forget this picture? Columbine High School. Massacre occurred on Tuesday, April 20th, 1999 at Columbine High School in unincorporated Jefferson County, Colorado, near Denver and Littleton, Colorado in the United States. Two teenage students, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, carried out a shooting rampage, killing 12 fellow students and a teacher, as well as wounding 24 others before committing suicide. It is considered to be the deadliest school shooting and the second deadliest attack on a school in U.S. history. What's going on? And here's what the world says. Okay, I want you to see what the world says. And most of you that are thinking, well, that's the reason. This is the reason. The massacre provoked intense public debate regarding gun control laws. Well, we've got to control the guns. That's the real problem, see. And the availability of assault weapons in the United States. That's going to stop all of this, see? Yeah. Much discussion also centered on the nature of high school cliques and bullying, as well as the role of violent movies and video games in American society. Several of the victims who were believed to have been killed due to their religious beliefs became a source of inspiration to others, notably Christians, and led some to lament the decline of religion in public education, society in general, I should say. The shooting also resulted in an increased emphasis on school security. Now they have metal checkers in schools all over this country. And you know what happens when you go to an airport now. It's getting worse and worse. The shooting also resulted in an increased emphasis on school security and a moral panic aimed at goth culture, heavy metal music, social pariahs, exclusives of certain people, the use of pharmaceutical antidepressants by teenagers, violent movies, and violent video games. Now, that's what the world says is a problem. Was it medication? Is it these things, really? The teen who went on a deadly shooting rampage at a Minnesota high school Monday was on Prozac. So now it's Prozac's fault. See? Wow. Adding to the list of youths involved in similar crimes who were taking antidepressants or other mood-altering medications. Everything but the truth. We're going to find out the truth this evening. The root biochemical or the result of something that causes biochemical changes. Well, we're going to find out that the something that causes biochemical changes is significant. Most of the people in nut houses, this is a comment by Rodney Stark, a social sciences professor at Baylor. Most of the people in nut houses are religious because most Americans are religious. And we know that what causes schizophrenia, and it isn't going to church. It's biochemical. Now it's biochemical, and we've got to give everybody all these drugs. It's called pharmacopoeia, right? Sorcery in the book of Revelation. Because in the last days, people would not turn from their sorceries, their pharmacopoeia, the drugs. And so we have more and more drugs being given out, you see, to correct those biochemical problems. That's not the problem, folks. Let me tell you a story about a black cow. A few years ago, a man was driving down the back roads. Well, perhaps it was Wisconsin. And it was dark, no moonlight that night. And a big old black bull stepped out into the road. He didn't see that black bull because it was a black pavement and it was dark. And he hit that black bull. Had a severe accident, and he wound up in the hospital. Stayed there 2 or 3 weeks, got out, and some things began to happen. Before the accident, he was a very upstanding citizen. Went to church on a regular basis, always in church. Had a great family, fine family. A couple of sons, a couple of daughters. After the accident, and he got well, and he started moving back around in his circles. He started lying. He started cheating. He even went and robbed a bank. Couldn't figure out what in the world had happened to this man. So after he robbed the bank, he was put back in jail. And some smart doctor said, you know, I think we better do a brain scan on this man because he hit his head pretty hard during that accident. They did the brain scan. What they found is the frontal lobe had been severed in this man. He no longer had empathy for others. He no longer had compassion for others. He had no shame any longer. Now, do we see this in other cases? Yes, men in war. Bullet wound through the frontal lobe. Same thing happens to them. See? Men who are on construction sites have something penetrate their brain, same thing happens. They lose shame. They start doing all these things. Now, if there's a problem in your families with proper nurturing, or in this world or in this country, because the father's hearts have turned from the children, and the brain is plastic, and we know from studies the frontal lobe is deteriorating, what does that suggest to you is perhaps going on with the increased violence? No shame, no empathy, no compassion for others any longer because they don't believe these words. They turn to materialism. Going to make more money. have a bigger job, bigger house, bigger cars, always striving for those things while the children stay at home and their brains rot because the love is not there in their families, because they don't believe in verbal plenary preservation and verbal plenary inspiration any longer. Now, is it true? Well, take a look. Here's the brain. Here's the frontal lobe. We won't talk about Broca's areas and all these other areas, but this is a side view of the brain. And this is the area for shame, empathy, compassion, caring, and planning. See? Now, here it is. Here's a murderer. The dark areas are the areas that aren't functioning. For example, these are the ventricles in the brain. The area that's white is the area that is functioning. In a normal person, the frontal lobe is functioning. And they have shame and empathy. And when they sin, they feel shamed, you see. And they want to turn from it. They want to repent of it. And God says, repent of it. Change. Turn from your sin. And come to me. And believe my words. Trust me. I will protect you. There it is. There's the evidence. And we find that in murderer after murderer. Scan after scan. And those children who walk in to the schools and shoot the other children, their frontal lobes aren't working. Now, here's a positive emission tomography. Same thing. See, this is a working brain. It's working. Over here, it's quit working. Same thing in a murderer. Another type scan, you see, just to confirm that this is the truth. God knew it all along. Did you know that? Read it with me. God knew it 500-600 years BC. Here's what he said. And thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden and there have been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Thou hast a whore's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. Because what happens when women go that route, they've usually come from a family that has not nourished them, has not lovingly cared for them. And God says, now, because of that, iniquity passed from generation to generation. We see, you see, the forehead, the frontal lobe is not doing well. Pardon Spanish over here. When I teach in other countries, I teach this too. If you go, by the way, to countries like Costa Rica or Chile or Central America, anywhere, and I was robbed, by the way, just recently in one of those countries. But when you go there, for those of you who have been, you see when you travel through city after city, bars on everything in the windows and in the doors and everywhere. They're there because of rampaging youth that have not been nourished, who have not been loved, who have not been touched. And they have no shame to come and rob you, even kill you. And in Costa Rica, when I was there, we had to be extremely careful that we went in groups and not by ourselves to walk back even to the hotel, because people lay in wait to kidnap you for money. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Where is the knowledge? Here it is. God said He'd keep it for us. He'd save it for us, and He did. But the world doesn't want you to know that. Satan doesn't want you to know that. The enemy wants you to believe the lie. That makes him happy. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget, what? Thy children. Is that what we're seeing around the world? I'm not making this up. You read it, but you haven't put it together, perhaps. You read it as well as I do. Rejection. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Jeremiah 6:19. When I was in Costa Rica, I had a translator there. Her name was Julissa. Julissa, beautiful young lady, excellent translator. She teaches English in an elementary school. After I'd been there for a week, she came up to our room with my wife and I, and she got on her knees and wept. And wept and wept after she got to know me a little bit. And I said, Julissa, what is the problem? Julissa is the way you pronounce it down in Central America. She said, I was rejected by my father. She said, I've never had a father. Would you be my father? Would you be my father? Do you hear the plea? Now, that's what I find in my counseling. Person after person comes to me, and I find they've been rejected and they're hurting. They don't have a mother, or they don't have a father, or they've been rejected severely in some fashion, just like Julissa did. Wept her heart out. I still communicate with her. I told her, you now have a father. And I email her all the time. She needs a father. But I told her she has a father, and that father's in heaven, and he has accepted her. She never needs to fear. Ephesians 1:6. She's saved, without a doubt. Karem, the curse, a dedicated thing, the Scripture tells us. What is the devoted thing that is cursing the earth? It will get worse, as we see in France and elsewhere, Leviticus 27:8. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing, Karem, that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man. You remember when Hannah brought Samuel to Eli? She devoted him to the Lord, did she not? And beasts and of the field of his possession shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing, Karem, is most holy unto the Lord. Your children are most holy. They're most holy unto the Lord. Cherish them, love them, nourish them. Malachi 4:4-6. These are the verses I was referring to, remember? All of you have read them, I'm sure. Most of you here on Sunday night, you've read them, I know. Surely you've read them. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, the Karem. What is the root? Is it drugs for depression? Is it schizophrenia? Is it bullies? Is it social pariahs? Is it the rejection of authority? It's the last one. It's the rejection of this book in our daily lives. Not believing every word, every jot, and every tittle that He has preserved for you. For your protection. For your life. That you might have life more abundantly. Can't get any clearer than that. But we go through our lives seeking the things of this world rather than the things of God. But it's for you to have life more abundantly. God, help us that we don't get it, that He loved us enough that He sent His Son to die on the cross and shed His blood for you. But we seek material things. Many words for sin, the most used are iniquity. I told you this morning. There's the word avon in the Hebrew, transgression, pesha, and sin, kata. And there's a difference in sins. I mentioned that this morning. I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to hang out on this. But there's still a lot I need to teach you concerning that. But we'll move on. Again, you see I teach that in the Spanish countries when I go. The root of all this sin is iniquity. I want to emphasize that again. We all like sheep. And here it is. Here's the proof that iniquity is self-will. Here's a verse for you. And we'll look at another one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our own way. Wow, what God did for us, didn't He? All of our iniquity was laid on Him. Our own self-will, which we need to turn away from. Here's another one, Matthew 7:21-23. This is the negative, but it says the same thing if you understand what it's saying. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, not your will, in other words, see, not your self-will, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, not the will of my Father, but your own will, seeking other things rather than nurturing and loving, even in the church. Love one another. Appreciate one another. Obey the authorities that God has established over you, your shepherds. That's why He gave them to you. No man's perfect, but they come under the chief shepherd. They are your shepherd. They are your authority, just as much as the law of this nation is your authority. And in the home, the authority of the Father in a loving way, not with his thumb, you see, but nurturing, listening to the wife. Her suggestions. She has antenna, guys, you know, that we don't have. You need to love her and understand what she's trying to tell you and let sense that she senses things that you may not understand. And love her. And make decisions after you've listened to her counsel. I won't be perfectly honest. I once lost a ton of money because I didn't listen to my better half. See there? Some of us have had that experience. The authorities that God has established, we need to obey. Now, this is a big slide. I'm going to go on for a few minutes because I've got until midnight. All right? Now, this is just a chart that a friend of mine, he's a pretty good friend, and a book, several books that he's written, and I use some of his material when I teach because it's so accurate. And I'm going to try. And now, again, this is a one-year course, okay? And we're just beginning to scratch the surface of all these things. But, you know, without a doubt, we're made up of soul, spirit, and body. The Scripture tells you that in 1 Thessalonians 5, if you want to look it up. Soul, spirit, and body. Spirit's very important. Because if it's not quickened, made alive by the Holy Spirit, you have a lot of problems over here. Nothing to help deal with these problems because of rejection in the world today, because of iniquity, creating all kinds of problems everywhere in our society. We have symptoms of inferiority, symptoms of insecurity, symptoms of inadequacy, symptoms of guilt, whether they be real because of sin or imaginary. We have symptoms of worry, doubts, and fears, all caused by rejection because we want things for ourselves instead of loving others, putting them ahead of us. So all these things creep up. As a result of then family and work and the daily problems of living, we get very frustrated with life. That frustration works on us, and what comes out is hostility. Do you know what depression is? It's hostility turned inward against ourselves, and we get very depressed. And sometimes it may persist for a long period of time. But it all results and goes, or all boils down to that basic problem of rejection. And that's where it starts. It creates all these symptoms. Then we get frustrated. Hostility comes out. And then we also see some other things. Our emotions are affected with depression and anxiety. And we also have problems of fantasy and schizophrenia and paranoia and obsessive compulsive thoughts. All starting with rejection by others of us rather than loving one another. Remember when John, the Apostle John, used to be carried around on a stretcher, one of the things he always said to those, even on his in his dying days, in his final days, by tradition we're told that he said to the people in his congregation at Ephesus, love one another. Love one another. When these things happen, now here are some of the symptoms that come out also. You see them. Tension headaches or migraine, nervous stomach, leading to peptic ulcers, hives, skin rashes, allergies, asthma, on and on. Arthritis, on and on we could go. These words, again, are for your protection. God wants you to have life abundantly, not to reject one another for your own self. Put others ahead of yourself. Put your authorities ahead of yourself. Be yielding. Surrender, first of all, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to the authorities that He's ordained in your life, whether it be government, whether it be your employer, whether it be your father or your mother or your pastors. Yield and surrender. Quit exalting yourself. Rejection of His words leads to confusion. It affects relationships, causes deterioration of the frontal lobes. You beginning to get it now? You can't think any longer like you should. Consequences of all these things, look at these stats. These are not mine. These are compiled from several sources, such as the Josephson's Institute. 91% of Americans lie. No shame. 91%. Confirmed over and over now in stats. On a regular basis, 93% of students lie. 40% say they have stolen from a store. Students cheating on exams has climbed from 61% in 1992 to 74% in 2002. Is it getting worse? Yes, it's getting worse as we get near the end because of the things we've talked about. Here's some of Josephson's comments. I wish we had time. I'm out of time. But let's look again at 1 Timothy 4, 1-2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Got it? Conscience is seared with a hot iron. Frontal lobe's gone in the last days. Proven, if you don't accept God's word, accept a medical doctor's scan. Would you believe that rather than his words? Believe me, nothing in this world is as infallible, as inerrant as these words. This is it. It is your contract, your covenant with God for your life. What could be more important? Tell others about it. Share with them the truth. Tell them God loves them. He wants them to have a life more abundantly. Of course, we're near the end. People won't believe it anymore, hardly. Because they're going to believe the guys in the ivory tower. And say, we don't have all of His words. They're not preserved. They're not saved. Now, I'm quickly do this. If all that hasn't convinced you, this is the United States Department of Justice stats, not mine. And then we're going to quit. I just want you to see this. Because most people still don't believe me when I tell them that the NIV came out in 1970, see early 70s, right about here, and some of those other perversions, NASB, stretched back into this area. What happened when they came out and they no longer accepted God's words, preserved words, and the new version started being dispersed by the millions all over this world? Now, you look at the stats. You look at the curve. I didn't make them up. This is United States Department of Justice curves. If you don't believe God's word, maybe you'll believe this. Here it is. Prisoners on death row. Look what happened. God says, okay, there you go. This is what you can have then. And look at this. State prison population by offense types. Violent crime. Look at that. Property. Everything's going up. Let's go. By the way, after I got these off, right after I got these off, they removed it from the site. They don't want you to know this. And they changed the stats. So now it's just numbers. It's no longer a graph so you can easily see it. See? Anyway, drug arrests by age. Look at this. Going up. Juveniles seem to be, you know, fairly level in on this graph and in these stats. But look at the adult drug use. Going back again, you see NIV released 1970s. God's upset. You've broken the everlasting covenant, he said. Isaiah 24:3. Read it again for yourselves. I talked to you about it this morning. Maybe you'll believe it now. He's upset. Incarceration rate. Look at this. Just extrapolate this back. There it goes up. Here it goes again. Adult correctional population. Look at the probation. We don't have enough room for them anymore in the jails even. Direct expenditure by criminal justice function. Now, what happens here is you see the downturn here in these things. Violent crime rates by age of victim. Started right about, early 90s. Well, the reason why that started is look what we as Americans are having to do. Oops, wrong way. We're having to spend more and more money to control all of this. More and more money. Look at that. Police, corrections, every area. And it even went up another 4.3% last year. I'm going to have to quit. But I hope you get the message. The Dean Bergen Society is defending the preserved words of God. We have them. We know where they are. They are in our possession. You listen to your pastors about what they tell you about this. Because God came to give you a more abundant life and to protect you and to love you. And He wants to do that if you'll let Him. Please hear the message tonight. Would you please?